For the News and Observer, I'm Dawn Vaughn, Capitol Bureau Chief and host of Under the Dome, and you're listening to our latest episode for the week of March 25th, 2024. We are just a day short of being a month out from the legislative short session. So I have a lawmaker guest today, and it's my, I guess I'm going to say my first lawmaker interview of the session. Representative Maria Cervania, a Kerry Democrat. She's a freshman lawmaker. She started the AAPI caucus. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
If people aren't familiar with Representative Cervania, here's a little bio information about her. She was born at the Naval Hospital, Oakland, while her father was deployed in Vietnam. After he retired, he served 24 years in the Navy. Her family settled in Sunnyvale, California. Her mom worked for 3 decades in the tech industry. Representative Cervania went to University of California, Berkeley, has a Master of Public Health from University of Illinois, Chicago. She moved to Austin, Texas, met her husband there. They've been married a couple of decades now.
Yes.
And eventually made their way to North Carolina and Cary. So you served a couple years on the Wake County Board of Commissioners and then ran for the legislature.
Yes.
So were you like, wow, I just really want to go check out the legislative building and instead of Wake County government? Why did you decide to run?
So I was asked several times to run for the ledge. I was really happy being a Wake County commissioner. We did a lot of things, and it's so much of a smoother sailing when it comes to really doing good by our people. And it was a more special time because I am an epidemiologist to be able to serve during COVID. And I knew that there was a higher power putting me into the position of Wake County Commissioner. When the ask was made to me to run for ledge, I did not say no. I mean, I did not say yes, I should say right away. And it ended up being a redistricting to where 2 opportunities came about. You know, always at the first part of it, when Gail Adcock decided to run for Senate, we were talking in conversation, and Yao Liu was the person that, you know, was identified to run for the 41st. And because I was more than happy, like I said, to be a commissioner. But when it did get redistricted, split into two, we both decided to run, and it's been great.
So you ran. Did you already, I mean, were you, did you know each other before or just like other that like, you know, local government Democrats knew each other?
So, people probably don't know. I actually did run for Cary Town Council District D as my first foray into running for politics. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it by plan. I am a Democrat, as you said, and we were trying to find somebody to run in that space. I was in Atlanta for work, and somebody goes, well, you need to drive back by noon because that's when the filing deadline is going to happen. I'm like, what? We haven't identified anyone? So yeah, I came and ran in 2015. I went into a runoff. I lost. And then we fast forward to 2019 and people said, we'll run again. And I go, what's changed? Like nothing's changed. We need to identify someone. So Yao Liu was identified and I worked on her campaign during the time. And so, yes, we've been friends like since before the election of 2019. And it was a great time. You know, she was our first Asian American to represent us in Cary on the town council. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that's how long we've known each other.
And you've both been groundbreakers at the legislature too,
exactly.
As freshmen together. So what's that been like having someone kind of to go through it with you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Like, you know, we've gone through a lot before that, right? And in this arena of government, it can be daunting if you don't know anyone or can have somebody in support of the things that you're struggling with or, you know, celebrating. So it's been great to come up together and being consistent with knowing what our town wants, our county wants when it comes to being representative in the legislature. And we are very like-minded in terms of what we want to do in representation of our towns, our areas, and our people too, and our communities. Mm-hmm. So it's a great power team when it comes to that and a great support system.
What was it like going from local government to the General Assembly, where it's, you know, 120 people in the House. The makeup of the legislature is not the makeup of Wake County, and what that's like, both in the Democratic caucus, working with the Republican caucus, just all of it. Of course, it's right here. It's the county where you already live. So I'm sure you'd either been to the legislative building before or, you know, walked by it, driven past it plenty. But what's it like once you're literally on the inside?
So it's diametrically different. As a Wake County Commissioner, and I don't know if people noticed, when I got elected, we actually were exactly representative of our population in Wake County. We had more women than men. We had each ethnicity of the percentage, like African-American, and I sort of like encompassed the bucket of Asian and sort of Hispanic. We were well represented in all our communities. And we worked really well together. We got a lot of passed. Like, it took some time, but even language access eventually got passed. So it was just an amazing time. You come here, like you say, there's seven of us there, now 120 and 170, really, to even get anything passed. The approach to government had to be extremely different. The type of relation, like, now we're not as much in similar and upbringing, ideology, belief in the world. But I think that there's a lot of commonality. And if you respect one another and you give yourself an openness towards that, you can get things done. It may not be in the traditional way, and I've said this before. People think that you need to do things in the ledge a certain way. But being in the minority, I can't be in the parameters of that, or I really won't get anything done.
What do you think about we're coming out of, you know, the primary where Cecil Brockman, Michael Ray, Brockman looks like barely won. Yeah. I think that's settled. Ray looks like barely lost, depending on how things stand, you know. What's it like? What's the Democratic caucus like when there are some Democrats who might vote a certain way depending on what they're what they want to do for, you know, the phrase like your conscience, your caucus, your constituents, and that, you know, work with Republicans or for whatever, you know, legislation they're trying to accomplish or what they personally believe. So what's that like within the caucus? What don't we see, I guess, is what I'm asking. What's that like? And when Cotham was in the caucus before she moved to the Republican side.
So I can only speak for myself. I've never felt like I couldn't vote my conscience. So, and I know with my other colleagues, we don't all live in a Wake County. Like, their constituents don't necessarily believe in the Democratic platform purely. So I always go to my colleagues who are in that struggle and I say, I'm going to support you in any way. I know, you know, they may want more lenient gun like legislation, or they may want to see something different in public education. Now, I know what my constituents want and I vote consistent with the platform, but I personally don't try to alienate my colleagues because they're already having to make a difficult choice, vacillating between their personal belief, our platform and our party and our caucus and their people. So that's how I am. And I think for the most part in our caucus, that is the general, but some add an extra level of, I mean, there's a group of five or six that are a little different in that. But I think it's a matter of communicating with each other. And that it was before me that was the dynamic. But I try my very best to speak with Cecil Brockman, Michael Ray, everybody. Like, I work with Shelley Willingham and a lot of them. I mean, like, if we want to go forward, we can't keep consistent, like I said, with the way we do things from the past.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you about your Republican colleagues and what you think of them. We're going to talk a little bit about what it's going to be like going in the short session in the super minority and next session. And then I'm going to ask you about cafeteria food and then our picks for Headliner of the Week. You're listening to Under the Dome. I'm Capitol Bureau Chief Dawn Vaughn here with State Representative Maria Cervania, a Wake County Democrat, Cary more specifically in Wake County. So before the break, we were talking about the Democratic caucus and everyone working together, even if everyone isn't in lockstep and everything all the time. So what about some of the more moderate Democrats, according to their voting records, with Republicans, have worked with them for various reasons. Who's your favorite Republican to work with?
Oh, I actually have several.
Okay, let's hear it.
Oh, gosh. So for different reasons.
Yep.
So earlier on, you know, like Larry Potts, who's senior chair of health, couldn't remember my name. and Maria Cervania, I mean, it's unusual, right? And I go, well, senior, you know, chair Potts, you can call me Mary Lou, because my parents call me Mary Lou. And he's like, Mary Lou, like, that's just like my cousin. I'm like, I am your cousin. And so, you know, we're cousins twice removed, you know. And so, you know, like, that was one of the first relationships that I had built when it came to the Republicans. But there is another relationship I love to talk about, because I'm pretty super progressive liberal. I went to Washington for the Women's March. I mean, I've done everything. I've been, I bleed blue since I was like 12 or whatever. And I went to the Hunt Institute the week of, and you're probably familiar with that, educational forum. And I sat with Donnie Loftus for the whole week. And this is like my first, we weren't even sworn in yet, I think. And I built a great relationship with him during that time. We shared stories about being county commissioners, and he's ex-military, my dad's ex-military. And at the end of the week, while everybody was cleaning up like the tables around us, he goes, Maria, I have to tell you something. And I go, what is it, Donnie? He goes, I was at January 6th. And I wanted you to hear it from me so that I don't want you to hear from somebody else and judge me on it. And I go, no, like, I'm not going to judge you on it. Like, we're Americans. You felt like it was important for you to go, as it was important for me to go to D.C. for the Women's March. And I'm not going to have that hinder us to grow our relationship.
Wow. Did you discuss it? Did he talk about what he... Okay.
And, you know, he went and he had felt like he needed to support people there. He told me he didn't storm the building. Mm-hmm. But he was there for the rally. And he was there in support of, and not only like, I think he's the one who said that he had a backpack of snacks because he knew that people would be hungry. Like, it was that and a lot of other, like, stories around that day. Because I wanted to hear about how that dynamic was, too. Mm-hmm. That's history. I mean, I didn't agree with what people did that day. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I wanted to know his motivation. Like, you know, yesterday I saw Donnie, like, we were together in Charlotte. We still have a good relationship. And this is what I try to be in the legislature. We're there all, we come from different paths, but we all want good by North Carolinians. We may not agree with that, what that is, but we can find commonality to work towards those things.
How do you keep that sense of optimism when, you know, you and Loftus or that's not a moderate Republican point of view if they go to January 6th, went to January 6th, right? So how do you, is that just something you've always had? Is that something you've learned working in government to if you want to move things forward, it's, you know, if the more everyone on the floor in their speeches every now and then, they look to the press corners and we're listening and they say, you know, the press never says when we get along. And I'm like, yeah, we do sometimes, you know. Is it to get to accomplish something that you feel? Is that where that comes from? Or
so I grew up in a Republican household. My dad was in the military. We're Catholic. I mean, like, so this balance of needing to understand people, to respect people, even though they have different viewpoints, is like, even with how I see my parents or how I saw my parents, I choose to be a Democrat for a reason. It wasn't taken lightly in light of my family. That I brought with me to work, to everything in life, because we're not always going to agree. And now more than ever in this space and time, right? That week with Representative Loftus showed that we have a lot in common. And there's enough there that we can work with one another, grow a relationship in terms of having bills or building bills, and gave me an opening to, in my mind and heart, to where if he can be that belief and that ideology, there's the other 78 that I, or the 72 that I can potentially work with if they keep an open mind and heart about me too.
Well, let's, before we get to headliner, you know, the session starting a month from now, it's Speaker Moore told reporters, you know, recently that, I mean, it's the whole, like, you know, Charlie Brown, Lucy in the football, where he told us that it's going to be a short session and we fall for it every year. So we'll see if it actually happens. But how are you thinking going into the short session in a party that's the super minority? Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen this session? How are you feeling about it?
So I guess it's consistent with the optimism that I consistently have with everything. Mm-hmm. So I was voting in to have this position, if it's one day or like until June 30th for session or until December 31st. I don't plan my life according to my personal life. Mm-hmm. You all elected me to do this job. So this is my primary. I don't have my professional job anymore. This is 100% for my constituents, for you all, everyone in North Carolina. So I like being actually in the legislature. I feel like sometimes it's like this grad school of like government, and we get all these topics that we don't ever get exposed to, but we like to study the bills. I love reading. I love studying. And so I'm excited about all the different things. And in fact, I don't get happy that we stop, because then I don't get to learn about the different topics or what people want, North Carolinians want, when it comes to laws. So I don't think about it ending at June. In fact, I think I agree with you, it probably will not. Mm-hmm. Not to say, if I was in the majority, it's like, why extend this out? I mean, mm-hmm. we're gonna get everything we want passed. Let's end it at, you know, June 30th and go to Bahamas or wherever people go. But I think that, yeah. So that's, I just enjoy it. I embrace it. How well.
So with legislation, it's whatever comes up and you'll go from there?
Or? Yeah. So I treat this as, even though I hear that not much is going to change, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of adjustment when it comes to the budget. I don't know that for sure. I'm treating this as an opportunity. I still have 7 coins or tokens left. I'm going to put in for every bill that's within this parameter of local bills or adjustments for budget. We're doing it. I'm going to max out, like, putting in new legislation. So even though they're saying there's probably not going to be a lot of change, we're doing it. You sent me there for a reason. We're going to try to get legislation passed.
So I always ask all state lawmakers this, since we're going to be spending a lot of time at the building pretty soon. What's your go-to item in the legislative cafeteria, or if you don't like the cafeteria, from the snack bar or the LOB hybrid snack bar cafeteria? What do you order? What's your favorite?
So Tuesdays are the best days of the week because they have the fried chicken that is the best in the world. I've been all over the world, and I have, like, in the Philippines, there's something called Chicken Joy that's impeccable. But the legislative cafeteria with their fried chicken is even better than
that. It is so good. Yeah.
It is so good. So, yeah. And I have a relationship with the people there, too, in our cafeteria. And I can't seem to always remember their names. And they're always testing me on their names. And so that's the extra part of, like, what I find favorite in the cafeteria. Not only the food, it's the people, too.
Okay. Yeah, I like the fried chicken, too.
Yeah.
And if people don't go there, it's the same staff. You know, it's every...
Brenda and Betty and oh, no. Now they're going to go, look, Representative Servant, you forgot our names again.
All right. Let's move on to our picks for Headliner of the Week. Who or what is your Headliner of the Week?
Goodness. So... we've been really lighthearted and having a lot of fun here, but the one that, and I've been really busy the past week, but when this headline came up, and I like to read Slashdot, not all the traditional things, because I come from a techie background, my husband, my mom. So the headline was, laid off techies face sense of impending doom with job cuts at the highest since the dot-com crash. Yes, like even in my household, like all the top companies, that threat of layoffs is a feeling of impending doom for us too. Especially since I do my political job as a fund, like a main funding source, his salary is what's letting us do all this, right? And I worry so much about my friends, my family, but then I put in the context of Wake County, because during being a Wake County commissioner, we brought in Apple, we brought in Amgen, we brought in a lot of the biotech, the tech to come here, creating hundreds of thousands of jobs at good salaries. So then I wonder, how do these job cuts impact our local people and their future? Two main points of that. You know, like there's always this narrative of AI's taking over. Like this is why we don't have any jobs anymore. But in fact, generative or just general AI jobs are, we don't have enough people to fill those jobs. And I know Apple, one of their main focuses will be on AI when they come here. And then AI's not taking over everything at this point in time. And you still need people to be able to create the infrastructure to have AI, to have AI be successful. I mean, I might be optimistic about that, but that's how I feel, and people shouldn't, at least at this time, worry about AI feel. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead, yeah.
And the second thing is, my new district is going to be the highest Asian American population in all of North Carolina. And a lot of our population has come in with H-1 visas, or we've invested in them going to grad school, and they want to invest back in us by staying here and contributing to the tech or non-tech community. I get worried when we have these impending layoffs that if they have an H-1 visa, they need to get a new job in 60 days. What happens to that breadwinner? What happens to that family? What happens to those children who we've put investment in? They are part of our community, and I'm getting that from my constituency. Help us. We need to figure this out. So that's why this headline.
What do you think about the, if you heard that these Connecticut Democratic lawmakers are coming for North Carolina's business? You mentioned Apple because they're saying, you know, Mark Robinson is a Republican nominee for governor, and if he wins, and everything that he says potentially or would do driving away business. Do you think that is a threat to North Carolina? What do you think about that?
So I'll do it on the positive end. When we did bring Apple in, they had asked us or had said to us at the table, we don't want to have our people who work for us have less rights and freedoms as what they had before or where they came from. So when you mention Mark Robinson or any of his like-minded ideology, it's going to have significant impact on the current industries that are here or ones who are looking towards us when it comes to the future. You know, we are proud that we are number one in industry and business in the country, but we won't keep that if we have an environment that doesn't respect the freedoms that and the rights of people. We can't. There's another aspect of this too, that we have a corporate income tax that will end before the end of this decade. Now, a lot of these industries came from a performance-based incentive program, but they tell us, well, how are you supposed to give us back our incentive if you have no revenues to pay for that? We're not paying any taxes towards. So there's a lot of other impacts too, that is not only that ideology, but the whole platform ideology of cutting taxes all the way and having freedoms and laws that are very constrictive. So we have to be really vigilant on making sure.
You don't think the other, Republicans will say that they've argued that the business comes here because of the tax cuts, but it's no. More than that, you think?
Yeah, because we're actually hearing from leaders in corporations, like 2.5 is some of the lowest corporate income tax in the country. Zero. Like, how are you going to generate revenue? Just merely on sales tax, it's not going to be enough to be able to fund the pipeline of education to be able to keep us robust in industry or have the high quality of life that we want our people, our employees are to have when we have them employed here. So it's a bigger picture that we really need to make sure we're careful of.
All right. I'll go quickly to my headliner, which has nothing to do with government or business or politics or basketball. I've picked my headliner recently was the sad ACC tournament for the teams that I like, and we'll see how NCAA goes. But mine is about the pollen, and I can feel the pollen from inhaling everywhere. So thank you for spring arriving. I know pollen has a purpose, but once the rain washes that away, I'll be happy. So I'd like to thank Representative Cervania for being on the podcast. Thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
For the News and Observer, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
For more from our politics team, subscribe to the News and Observer at newsobserver.com/subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Under the Dome and NC Insider, and sign up for our weekly political newsletter, also called Under the Dome, at newsobserver.com/newsletters. Thanks for listening.